Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, July 21, 2024, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. That gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing. Worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, sir, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Romans chapter 7, an entire chapter presented by the Apostle Paul in great detail, explaining the fact that as believers in Jesus Christ in this dispensation of church age, we have a war going on inside of us as to who is going to control your soul. We have the old sin nature that has been there from physical birth, but at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, we are indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. And now Paul teaches there's a war going on between the sin nature and God the Holy Spirit as to who is going to control your soul. Now you have a free will, you have a volition, and that's the guardian of your soul. The sin nature is always going to be sending up temptation, but you got a guardian, you have a free will. Now, all you have to do is say no. Every time the temptation comes up from the sin nature, all you have to say is no. And if you say no, then you continue to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, keep on being filled, empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. So, Paul is now in an entire chapter going in great detail and explaining what's going on between the sin nature and God the Holy Spirit. We, in verses 15 to 17, we saw the first attack of the sin nature, and it sounds like this. For what is working out of me, that is what I am producing, sin, human good, and evil, I do not understand. For what I desire, or wish to do, or want to do, these things I am not practicing or accomplishing. But what I hate, what I detest, these things I keep on doing. Now, if I keep on doing this very thing that I absolutely do not desire to do, I agree with the law, the Mosaic law, that it is honorable, praiseworthy, and unobjectionable. Verse 17. But in this situation, I am no longer the one performing it, but the sin nature which keeps on living in me. Now that's the first attack of the sin nature. Then in verses 18 to 20, we have the second attack of the sin nature. Verse 18, in fact, I know that absolutely nothing intrinsically good resides in me. That is, in my flesh, the sin nature. For the will, the resolve, the purpose is present in me, but the accomplishment of that which is honorable and virtuous absolutely is not present. Paul is saying he understands the problem. That's very important. You always have to understand the problem. He knows that the sin nature resides in his human body. And he knows that there is absolutely nothing intrinsically good in the sin nature. Now, no problem is ever solved until the problem is understood. And the problem is inside of each one of us. The problem is the fact that we have a sin nature. You have to know that the sin nature is still residing in your human body. You have to know that he is still sending temptations up to the guardian of your soul, your volition. You have to know that the sin nature has an area of weakness, personal sin, an area of strength, human good, dead works, and lust patterns. You have to know that there is a great inner conflict, a war going on inside of each one of us. The sin nature versus the Holy Spirit. And what the Apostle Paul is teaching in great detail in Romans 7, he summarizes in Galatians 5, 16 and 17, which says, so I declare, walk by the Spirit. Live your life by the power of God the Holy Spirit, and you will not gratify the lusts of the sin nature. For the sin nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sin nature. They are at war with one another, so that you do not do what you want to do. So he summarizes it in Galatians 5, 16 and 17. The soul of the believer, therefore, is the great battleground. The soul is the key to the solution of the problem of the sin nature. And the solution is the filling of the Spirit. Ephesians 5, 18, we're given a mandate, keep on being filled, empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5, 16, Keep on living your life, walking by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. The divine power, then, of the filling of the Spirit must replace the human energy of the flesh, the sin nature. The human energy of the flesh, the sin nature, does not and cannot please God, and does not and cannot glorify God. And we're in Romans 7. Paul will declare this in Romans chapter 8, verse 8. Romans 8:8. Therefore, those who are in the flesh, controlled by the sin nature, cannot please God. Cannot please God. So the human energy of the flesh, the sin nature, does not, cannot please God, does not glorify God. The spiritual life is a supernatural way of life, demands supernatural power for its execution. That supernatural power is the omnipotence, the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And then verse 19 says, for the intrinsic good which I desire, I do not do, but I keep on practicing this very evil. Which evil I do not want to do, wish to do. The believer often does not find the key to becoming a winner until he seeks to discover it. You have to make decisions to seek to discover it. Intrinsic good in this verse is you growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. We start out as a baby. But the moment we place our faith in Christ, we're a spiritual baby. And God doesn't want us to stay a baby. He wants us to grow up into spiritual adulthood and spiritual maturity. We start as a baby. We advance to adolescence. And the objective is to go all the way to spiritual maturity. That's the intrinsic good. So at salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, we have the potential for attaining the intrinsic good, growing up and reaching spiritual maturity, growing up and fulfilling the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, having virtue, love brought to completion in our hearts. The potential is available to every believer through the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. But the believer also still has the indwelling sin nature, which he at one time, from physical birth until salvation, he was a slave to the sin nature as the ruler of human life. And that sin nature still expresses temptations, keeps sending up temptations for you to do things that you don't want to do, and temptations that keep you from doing things that you do want to do. Without the filling of the Spirit and consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God, the evil which the unbeliever does not want to do, he keeps on practicing. And therefore, it does not follow that understanding the will of God means doing the will of God. Knowing the will of God is not doing the will of God. Part of the problem is you have to know the objective. And the objective is to live the spiritual life and attain spiritual maturity and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. But the other part of the problem is to obtain the objective. To obtain the objective. And that takes great self discipline. And we saw that in 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 27. The Apostle Paul, I love this passage. We got the Olympic Games coming up starting Friday. Well, the Apostle Paul talks about the Olympic Games, the ancient games, in 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 27. And he declares, run the race in such a way to win the prize. And that takes great, great self-discipline. Great self-discipline. The athletes in the game, these athletes trying to win the medals at the Olympics coming up, they train and train and train and train to win a prize that doesn't last. We are in a spiritual race. At the moment of salvation, the gun goes off, and we're all in a spiritual marathon. You're all on in a track team. You're on God's track team. I love track. I love track and field. I wouldn't give you a diddle for soccer. To me, that's about the most boring thing. I don't know how people can watch that. Turn on. Now, the other thing is boring is baseball. And then you got the guy on the other end. But track and field. Yeah, God loves track and field. Well, he likes baseball too, because it says in Genesis, in the beginning. So he does love baseball, and he loves track and field. But if you're going to win the prize that lasts forever, it takes great self-discipline. Great self-discipline to make good decisions, good decisions, good decisions. Verse 20. Now, if I am doing this very thing, which I do not desire to do, first class condition, and I am no longer the one bringing it about or accomplishing it, but the sin nature which dwells or resides inside of me. So again, there is an inner conflict between what the believer desires to do and what he actually does. The life of the believer is a major battleground between the forces of evil led by the sin nature and the forces of God led by the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the mind of Christ, the Word of God. The volition of the believer's soul is subject to tremendous antithetical pressures. The old sin nature versus the Lord Jesus Christ. Only through the filling of the Spirit and the Word of God, the mind of Christ in your heart, can the believer be enabled to make decisions which are pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head, we are the body. He's the authority. He's the authority. And he's given us his thinking, the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is the written word. So the living word, Jesus Christ, who is our authority, has given us the written word, the mind of Christ, so that we can know how to live the spiritual life and how to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ to the maximum. Now remember, you have never committed a sin unless you wanted to do it. The believer is not excused when he uses his own free will and succumbs to the temptations of the sin nature. The conflict between the purpose to want to please Christ and the desire to fulfill the lust patterns of the sin nature becomes a constant war in the believer. And your only hope is to live your life by the grace and the power of God, by the filling of the Spirit and the Word of God, not by the energy of the flesh and the lust patterns of the sin nature. And that brought us to verse 21, and we just barely got started. So you see, I discovered this principle, Paul says. And then we have, that when I would do good. Now I just want you to know, we start with the King James. The word good is not good. There is a word for good, agathos. That's not what we have here. We have a different word, kalos, not agathos. So, in the King James, it says, that when I would do good. We have the dative singular of the personal pronoun ego with a definite article, plus the present active participle of thelo, plus the present active infinitive of poieo, and the accusative singular of kalos, kalos with the definite article. The personal pronoun ego is I, and then the verb thelo. Have this a lot in this passage. Looks like that in the Greek, T-H-E-L long O, thelo. And thelo means to wish, to desire, to purpose, to will, to want to do something. The participle is a temporal participle, and you translate it, when I wish, when I want, when I desire. And then the infinitive of poieo, which is to do, and then our word kalos, not agathos, kalos. K-A-L-O-S, kalos. And kalos means noble, praiseworthy, the honorable thing. All right. One. The honorable thing is to obey the mandates of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head, we're the body. He is the one who is the authority in our life. So the honorable thing is to obey the mandates of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the living Word. The Word of God is the written Word. The mind of Christ, too. The honorable thing is to live the spiritual life by the grace and the power of God. The honorable thing is to live the spiritual life by the grace and the power of God. Three, the honorable thing is to live the spiritual life, this unique spiritual life God has given to us in the church age. There was this spiritual life. The very first time this spiritual life was given was to the humanity of Christ at the incarnation and virgin birth. Jesus Christ was the first one to ever have the indwelling and filling of the Spirit. There was no indwelling of the Spirit prior to the incarnation and virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ then passed that on to us, the royal family of God, the body of Christ, passed it on to us. That spiritual life which Jesus Christ proved, this works. This works. Then he passed it on to us. This is the spiritual life of the church age. It must be lived by the spiritual skills. And that means the filling of the Spirit. Keep on being filled and empowered by the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. 2 Peter 3:18, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So the honorable thing is to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Four, the honorable thing is to grow up spiritually. You're a baby at salvation. God doesn't want you to stay a baby. He wants you to grow up from babyhood to adolescence to spiritual maturity and become a teleos believer. A teleos believer is a spiritually mature believer. So the honorable thing is to grow up spiritually. in grace orientation, in knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 5, the honorable thing is to attain the ultimate objective, spiritual maturity, and having virtue, love brought to completion in our hearts. Virtue, love. And for if you're, we're learning all about this in our Thursday night class, in 1 John. 1 John gives the greatest dissertation in the Word of God on virtue, love. This is the ultimate objective that God has for each one of us in the church age. To grow up to maturity and have virtue, love brought to completion in our hearts. And that's made up of 3 parts. Part 1, you develop personal love for God the Father. Personal love for God the Father. That is the great motivational virtue that motivates you to fulfill the second category, impersonal love for all mankind. That's the great functional virtue. First of all, you have the great motivational virtue, personal love for God the Father, and that motivates you to have impersonal love for all mankind. Yesterday, I come here every day and study because I want to and I love to. And there's nothing I'd rather do. And as I was driving down Upland, I saw somebody in our front yard of the church. I go, I think I'll turn around. I drove up. He had no idea that I saw him. And I pulled right up and he's got his pants unzipped and pants halfway down, and he's peeing on the out here in our yard. And he was looking the other way, and I said, "Yoo-hoo!" "Oh, I didn't know anybody was here." I said, "Well, nobody was here, but God was." I said, "I'm not God." But I said, this is a church. It doesn't say Upland Bible Restroom. It's Upland Bible Church. And this is where people who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ and love the Lord Jesus, they assemble here to learn what He has to say to them. But we got a lot of kids too. And when you pee, and I don't know what else you do. Oh, he said, "Well, whenever I do anything, I pick it up." I said, "Well, you know what? There's been a lot of times people have come here and nothing's been picked up. So we pick it up. My wife picks it up." When you're the pastor's wife, you get to pick up poop, see? And the deacons do. I said, "This is extremely unhealthy. We got a lot of kids. This can't go on." I said, "There's a park over there with a restroom, and just go in and use that." He said, "Yeah, but those restrooms are dirty." I said, "Well, then don't use them then. Just find yourself a good palm tree and away you go." No. I don't even know how I got on this, but anyway. I remember. Impersonal love for all. Right then, you better have impersonal love for all. And I said, "Why don't you go over to the park? There's grass over there. This is fake grass. This isn't even real grass. Real grass over there. Why don't you go over there?" And I said, "Do you need any water?" "Yeah, I'm out of water." I said, "Well, here, I'll give you more water and they'll reload." So you're good to go. Gave him some water. I said, I'll be glad to give you water anytime you need water. But this has got to stop. No more. No more. This is a local church, and this is not healthy at all. So personal love for God the Father is the motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind. The good, the bad, the ugly. And the third is occupation with Jesus Christ. Together, this is virtue love. This is the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. To grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And that's 1 John. That's 1 John. It's also 2 John. And for those of you who have been consistent and faithful, you understand this in great detail. So the honorable thing is to attain the ultimate objective of spiritual maturity, having virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. Personal love for God the Father, great motivational virtue. Impersonal love for all mankind, the great functional virtue. Occupation with Jesus Christ. So far, it says, so you see, I discovered this principle. When I desire to do the honorable thing, the kalos thing, the honorable thing, evil is present with me. This is the conjunction ha ti plus the nominative singular neuter of kakos, plus the present middle indicative of parakemi plus the dative singular of the personal pronoun ego. The conjunction ha ti, many times it's a causal conjunction, but not here. And you have been here, those of you who are faithful, you got this down. When ha ti follows the verb of decendi, knowing, thinking, saying, and in this case, the verb of decendi is heurisko, to discover. Then it introduces an object clause and should be correctly translated that. So ha ti introduces the content of the principle that when I desire to do the honorable thing, that evil is residing in me, the sin nature with its lust patterns and trends, which are sin, human good, and evil. And the Greek word here is the Greek word for evil, kakos. K-A-K-O-S, kakos. Kakos means bad, it means worthless, it means inferior. And when you have the neuter of the with the definite article, ta ka kan, which is what we have, now it's a noun, and it should be correctly translated evil. And then we have parakemi. Parakemi, P-A-R-A-K-E-I-M-A-I, para. Kemi. Now, parakemi is only found two times in the New Testament scriptures. Both times it's used by the Apostle Paul, and both times it is used by Paul in Romans chapter 7. It's used in Romans 7 verse 18 and Romans 7 verse 21, our verse. So a couple of things. One, parakemi means to be at hand, to be ready. To be at hand, to be ready. Two, the evil of the sin nature has been with us since our physical birth. We were born physically alive but spiritually dead. At our physical birth, Adam's original sin was imputed to the genetically formed sin nature, and we come into the world physically alive but spiritually dead. And we come into the world as slaves to the old sin nature as the ruler of human life. And it continues that way all the way up to the new birth, spiritual birth, regeneration, and our moment of faith in Jesus Christ. Point three, At physical birth, evil came to reside in all of us. Through the imputation of Adam's original sin to the genetically formed old sin nature. So at physical birth, evil came to reside in all of us. Through the imputation of Adam's original sin to the genetically formed old sin nature. 4. Therefore, the sin nature with its trends towards sin, human good, and evil is always at hand, always ready to take control of our life. Therefore, the sin nature with its trends towards sin, human good, and evil, kakos, is always at hand and ready to take control of our life. The dative case of the personal pronoun ego is the dative of seer. That's in me, resides in me, resides in my body. So therefore, it is at hand, ready, present, to take control of my life. So corrected translation. So you see, I discovered this principle. When I desire to do the honorable thing, evil resides in me. Got that? So you see, I discovered this principle. When I desire to do the honorable thing, evil resides in me. All right, 1. At the moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. At the moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the living word, and the mind of Christ, the written word, is the new authority in the life of the believer. Jesus Christ is the head. We are the body. He is the authority. The new authority in the life of the believer. 2. However, the evil from the sin nature still resides in our body. However, the evil from the sin nature still resides in our body. 3. So now, in every believer, we have the coexistence of the Lord Jesus Christ and His thinking, the mind of Christ, and the evil from the sin nature. So now in every believer, we have the coexistence of the Lord Jesus Christ and His thinking, the mind of Christ. He's the head, we're the body, and the evil from the sin nature, which is residing in our body. 4. When we start to learn the absolute truth of the mind of Christ, the Word of God, a conflict arises. A conflict arises with the evil, the human viewpoint garbage from the sin nature, which had controlled our lives as an unbeliever from physical birth to salvation. So when we start to learn the absolute truth of the Word of God, the mind of Christ, the thinking of Christ, our new authority, a conflict arises with the evil and human viewpoint garbage of the sin nature, which had controlled us all the way from physical birth to our salvation, all of the time we were an unbeliever. Now I have a personal illustration that maybe will help nail this down for you. This is my own personal illustration of this principle. As a new believer, and I was a baby believer, I was saved. I heard the grace gospel and I placed my faith in Jesus Christ and I was saved. But I was a baby. I was a baby. I knew almost nothing of what the Bible had to say. And then I was introduced to Bethany Bible Church in Pullman, Washington, on the campus of Washington State University. And the pastor there was Pastor Ron Breckel. Excellent Bible teacher. Absolutely fantastic. And the first time I went to that church, I knew this is the truth. Where has this been? This is fantastic. And I started going back. But I was just a baby. I had a lot of human viewpoint garbage, and I had very little of the Word of God. So I was taking and going home to see a mom and dad. And as I get there, mom's telling me, we're talking. She says, oh, Rich, she says, there was this communicator on the television, and he said that the United Nations is evil. And I looked at my mom and I said, you shouldn't be listening to these guys on TV. The United Nations is the only hope for world peace. I told her that dramatically. Only hope for world peace. And why do you listen to these guys on TV? There's a pastor down there. He's a great pastor. That Bethany Bible Church. Ron, he's a great pastor. You need to be listening to a pastor like that. And then I went back. The first class. The very first class, I'm in, sitting down, and Ron is teaching on the Tower of Babel and the correlation with the United Nations and how evil, evil, evil it is. You know the passage, the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing. I got pierced and pierced and pierced. My head was cut off. I was bleeding everywhere. I couldn't get back home fast enough. Went in, went up to my mom, gave her a big hug, and I said, Mom, I was 100% wrong, 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 wrong. And what you said, that teacher was 100% right. The first class, Mom, when I go back, I got pierced and pierced and pierced and pierced and pierced. And I said, I have a lot to learn, Mom. I'm just a baby believer. I know almost nothing from the Word of God. But this is a great Bible teacher. And I'm going to learn what the Bible has to say. I'm going to grow up. I'm just a baby now, but I'm going to keep going, keep plotting. That's what Paul is saying here. That's what he's saying here. So point five. So as a result of learning the absolute truth of the Word of God, there immediately is an antagonism with the evil and human viewpoint garbage from the sin nature. So as a result of learning the absolute truth of the Word of God, there immediately is an antagonism with the evil and human viewpoint garbage of the sin nature. Six, there is a conflict that arises when we start to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's a conflict that arises when we start to grow up in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Seven, the Bible teaches us that there is a war going on in us between the God, the Holy Spirit, and the sin nature. as to who is going to control your soul and be the power for your life. And that's what Paul summarizes in Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17. All right, we'll take a break at this point, and we'll see you in a few with part 2.